And I'll read, well, I guess I'll just read the 13th and the 14th verse, but I'll find my subject in one of these verses. The Bible said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereout. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." You'll find our subject tonight in the 13th verse. And it says, "And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Our subject is the broad way. Okay? Will you help me preach it tonight? Father, in your name, we're here. And thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being here. We thank you for this wonderful pastor and his wife and three beautiful little girls. We thank you for this church, and the people that we have met since being here. We'll never forget them. But, oh God, help us tonight to speak into each heart. Help them, Lord, to open up their hearts into the word of the Lord. God, we want to reach them by your word tonight. If there's any way possible, help us, dear Jesus, in your lovely name. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I thank you for the trio's pretty song tonight. Oh, what a trio. Mom and Daddy did all right, too. And I want to thank all of you for everything you've brought to us and brought to the parsonage. And I want to thank every one of you for all of your offerings. God bless you. And we'd love for you, if you would, to put us on your prayer list when you get through praying for everything that your pastor wants you to pray for and about. If you just put us on the bottom and just mention us every now and then to the Lord. You might not think I'd appreciate that, but I believe we've made it this far accident-free because somebody prays for us. We've had a lot of narrow escapes, and the Lord willing, we'll be going as far as way into Alaska in 1975. Be working our way down through Louisiana and Texas this fall and winter into Arizona, back into Colorado, New Mexico, and Nevada and California next fall, next winter. We'll go up the Gulf, up the coast, and work our way through California and California and Oregon and into Washington and in British Columbia, Canada, on into Alaska for 85, the Lord willing. Amen. Of course, we don't know what we're going to do. We've just got tonight. I want to take care of tonight first. Okay? Amen. I'm going to talk to you about the Broadway. Okay? The Broadway, that's where the crowd and the multitude is. Amen? And they're on the Broadway, and it's leading them where? To destruction. Say destruction. Come on, say destruction. Have you ever seen a storm or tornado or a flood go through a country and just destroy everything in its path? Destruction. Now, you can be as big as a big can be, but you can't stand against power like that. None of us are able to withstand it. That's right. Now, there's some things about this Broadway that I want you to pay attention to. And one of them is the Broadway is a deceitful way. It's filled with deception. The devil got it all pictured and painted. Oh, it's a fun way. It's a thrilling way. It's a great way, but it's full of deception. You know who I think one of the biggest deceivers are that's in the world today? It's these fellows that pat you on the back and tell you all right while you're living in sin. Amen. I believe that that type of a guy is going to send more people to hell than the whiskey stores and the beer joints and the nightclubs and all the ungodly things of the world. There are literally millions of people, no doubt, in America tonight that thinks they're saved when they've never obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been deceived. You see, oh, Brother Raines, he's a doctor of divinity. I want you to know he can be a double L and a DD behind his name, but he's been sent to a seminary, and he's been taught how to wrest or twist the scriptures. You better give heed. You say, well, he's not going to tell me anything wrong. I wish you would listen to him a little closer. For when you become a Bible scholar, you can hear them when they slip a little word in or take a little word out. But the average congregation never misses it, never knows about it. The Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they're all going in the ditch together. So what did God put between your ears? He give you some sense and some knowledge. The Bible said, search the scripture. Amen. We're supposed to wake up. We're living in the end time. And brother, oh God, help us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. This broad way is a deceitful way. Yeah, they'll paint a pretty picture, you know, trying to sell that package of cools. Huh? Yeah, it's got a pretty girl and a boy walking across a stream. Yeah, beautiful scenery. They ought to go with the old preacher sometime, amen, into that sick room where somebody is coughing and spitting up their lungs with lung cancer because of that cancer stick, that cool they've been smoking all their life. And then they see a different story. Deception, deception, amen. All right, yes, our most well-off people of this city is the one that runs the package store.
Right.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of you may think you look cute when you're walking around with that cocktail glass in your hand or that can of beer in your hand. But you ought to go with the old preacher man. I've been on Skid Row in Chicago, Illinois. Amen. Where there are men and women, ex-ball players, amen, ex-movie stars, ex-doctors and ex-lawyers, amen, laying in the gutter a while ago, amen. You ought to see them living in those old flea bag hotels, amen, and sitting in a corner in the alley at night. Oh, God, that would break your heart. Amen. You ought to run on down the highway and see two or three cars all mangled together and bodies strewn on the highway. And you'd have to stop and help clear them out. And you hear them mangled. And you see them mangled. You see their limbs are torn off. And their heads knocked off. And you hear those that are still alive groaning and crying. And you find out what caused it. Some nut behind the wheel was full of whiskey and caused an accident. See? Deception. Deception. Oh, we could go on and on and on and on talking about that, but I got to hurry. Amen. That's the broad way. It's a deceivable way. And another way, a thing about it, it's an unprofitable way. Oh, you say, why? You got to go with the crowd. You got to lie a little to make business go good. And you got to do this and that and the other. Amen. To make money. Oh, Lord, Lord, you can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what has it profited you? Listen, friend, I'd rather have a godliness with contentment as have all the world's gains and all the world's pleasures and gold. Amen. For everything that you've got that you possess in this world, it's not going to last anyway. But if you got Jesus, he's going to take you with him. And that's going to last throughout eternity. Unprofitable. This broad way is an unprofitable way. Oh, I could go into that and talk for an hour. But you just think about it. Amen. Another thing about the broad way, it's a trifling way. Oh, what a trifling bunch of people we've got nowadays. You almost have to drive down the street with your blind bridle on. You'll see some man trifling on his wife, or some wife trifling on her husband, or some daughter trifling on mom and daddy, or some son trifling on the family. Amen. Oh, God, God, have mercy. Amen. It's a trifling way. Oh, yes. Oh, I better not say no more about that. But that's the Broadway, friend. That's where the crowd is. Amen. That's where the multitudes are. It's on the Broadway. You say, oh, I don't want to go to church. That's just a few out there. Amen. Well, he said the gate was straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. But the Broadway is where the multitudes are, and they're all headed down that road to destruction. Another thing about the Broadway, it's a restless way. People can't be still. They can't rest. They can't sleep. Doc, I'll tell you how you make some money. Don't know how to make some money? Buy some stock in some of these pharmaceutical companies that make tranquilizers. Huh? Yeah. That'll make you some money fast. Did you know that America is supposed to be a Christian nation, a nation that's supposed to be at peace with God and at peace with a fellow man? They're consuming tranquilizers to the tune of billions of dollars worth a year. Oh, Lord. Listen, friend, get off of the broad road and let Jesus give you some peace and tranquility. Hallelujah. You can do like the sister that testified tonight. When you lay your head on that pillow after this service is over, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, after about a dozen of you pray through, amen, you can lay down and go to sleep. Because you know you're in the master's hand. Oh, yes. Another thing about the Broadway, it's a disappointing way. Oh, Lord. A lot of people have been so disappointed about the Broadway, they've slipped their wrist. They've taken an overdose of sleeping pills. They've jumped off of a high bridge. Or they've jumped out of a 10 or 20 story building. Amen. It's very disappointing. I'd think that was pretty disappointing, wouldn't you? A lot of people just got so disappointed in life till mothers have walked off and left their husbands and their children. And fathers have walked off and left their wives and their children. Amen. Disappointed in life. Oh, God. You need to look a little farther than your nose and find Jesus Christ and let him bring peace and tranquility to your soul. Oh, Lord, and get yourself off of that Broadway. Amen. And let me tell you another thing about the Broadway. It is not easy to get off of it, really. And I can think of a way to illustrate it. One time I was coming out of Indiana into Missouri to a zone meeting, and I was late for the meeting. Most preachers are always late, and they always drive fast. I used to drive fast till they gave me some men's speeding tickets. They broke me the habit. But anyhow, I was coming through St. Louis at the busiest time of the day, and I was on an 8-lane expressway, 4 going this way and 4 coming back that way. They were bumper to bumper, and we was all driving 70 miles an hour. I'd been driving for hours. I was all tensed up, and I got to thinking, there that guy right in front of me and all over to the side of me and all behind me, here we was going. Bumper to bumper, at that high rate of speed. There I was, tensed up. I thought about, oh God, somebody makes the wrong move. Here's another one of those horrible pileups that you read about. Have you read about these horrible pileups where many cars pile up? That we was in a perfect situation to have one. And I honest to God, I lost my nerve. I lost my nerve. I got just plumb jittery. I lost my nerve. I said, I got to get off of this highway. I got to get off of this expressway, and I was over in the center lane. See, I'd have to cross over 3 lines of traffic. And people in those big cities, they will not give to you. They will not give to you. I turned my signal light on to let them know that I wanted to come across. They wouldn't give me an inch. I had to drive for miles and miles and miles and was praying, oh God, I just felt like I had to get out of that automobile. And they like to never let me over. I finally got over one lane. And I finally, I got over another lane. And I finally got over in the outside lane. And when I got in the outside lane, I tore that shoulder of that road up, stopping that car. I bounced out of that car as quick as I could. Why? I was wanting to get off of that Broadway and out of all of that traffic. I'd lost my nerve. Listen, friend, if I were you and was on that Broadway that you're on tonight, I don't see how you're holding your nerves together. You're headed for destruction. Amen. Oh, Lord, I got out of that car and I walked up and down that expressway for the longest before I ever pulled myself back together. I'm glad I got out of there. I might have been the one in that condition that had made to have the pileup, see? And I felt that way, and I wanted to get off. Friends, this Broadway leads to destruction. Destruction. Amen. 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 You see, now, Brother Raines, Jesus, we're supposed to go to church and hear something soothing and good. Yeah, that's been the trouble all along. Amen. Everybody wants to go to church and hear something soothing and good. Well, you're not going to hear something soothing tonight. Amen. I'm going to try to wake you up if I can, for it's time for us to get woke up. Listen, friend. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Thessalonians. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. I want to read in the 4th chapter. I want to read the 16th through the 18th verse. Now listen to this. Oh, this will sound good. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Now we could stop right there and preach about that, and we'd all start shouting. Amen. We know the Lord, when he comes back, he's coming back for his church, and his church is going to leave here. Amen. But friends, I want you to look at what's going to happen to those that's left behind. Now, I've heard stuff all over my life that the world's just going to carry on just like it always had, but I want you to listen to the Bible tonight. All right? Let's go right on down in the next chapter. I think he's talking about the very same thing in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, starting at the first verse. Notice what it says. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Not a thief to the church, not a thief to the one that's ready to meet him, but to you that's on the Broadway. He's coming as a thief. Notice what's going to happen. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Say it. Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman, amen, with child, and they shall not escape. You know what it's cost in just the last few days trying to guard the peace in Lebanon. Over 229 of our boys has lost their life. Amen. Our boys from America and about 45 or 50 Frenchmen lost their lives over there, trying to negotiate and keep peace. Amen. Oh, Lord, there has never been as many peace conferences as there's been in the last few years. Dignitaries from all countries of the world have got together and crossing oceans and meeting and talking. There's been literally thousands and millions and no doubt billions of dollars spent trying to work out peace. But where are we sitting tonight? We are sitting on the verge of one of the worst wars that the world has ever known. But when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You women that have birthed children in the world, when that time comes, you can't get away from it. It's got to happen. You know it has. Huh? Oh, yeah. All right. Now I want to take you. I want to take you to one of the minor prophets, Nahum. Nahum. All right? Let me see where he's close to. He's right between Micah and Habakkuk. They're pretty. That little fellow's hard to find. But if you can't find him, write it down, then you can check me tomorrow and see if I read it right. Nahum, the first chapter. I'd like to read the fifth and the sixth verse. Notice what it says. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I'm going to back up and read it again. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. So this little planet that you're living on, that's called Earth, that you call your home, that you got your stake driven down in so deep, I got news for you. This thing is fixing to burn up. Okay? Is the Bible right? So you better go to buying your ticket to get out of here and go somewhere where it's going to be everlasting life. Listen to the sixth verse. It says, who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Don't you know that God Almighty that loves us and gave his life for us is getting sick and tired of the people of this 20th century that's living like the devil and treading his blood under their feet and cursing and beguiling him and saying all manner of evil against him? Don't you know I'm glad, Sister Odessa, you're not God? And Odessa, I'm glad you're not God. I'm glad none of you are God, for you'd have done got mad with us and destroyed us all. I'm glad God is God, for he's still merciful. He's still patient. He's still waiting, giving you a chance to do something about your soul salvation. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, sir. God wants us to do something. And who do you think you are when you think you can stand before the fierceness of his anger? Listen, did you know that that God that's been a God of love all along is also a God of consuming fire? When his anger gets kindled to the point that he's had enough and he turns his fury loose, he's going to be a consuming fire. You say, I don't believe that. You stay with me and I'll prove it to you if you believe the Bible. Huh? Okay. All right, let's turn over and get some more. I'm going to give you a good dose of this tonight. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Amen. Let's start in about 7th verse so you can really get this. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This earth that we are living on is reserved, amen, and it's kept in store unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. That's what she's being kept here for. All right, but notice, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. He's still standing, giving you opportunity after opportunity. Notice the 10th verse. Notice what it says here. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Amen? Now that's why I've been taught all down through the years that when he comes as a thief in the night, he's going to snatch his church out of here. Huh? All right. You believe that? Oh, yes. But now notice what's going to happen. When he comes as a thief in the night, amen, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Notice now, the next verse, 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What you talking about? All these things going to be dissolved. He just said it in the verse before. The earth, the elements, and the works of men's hands are going to be dissolved. This earth, if it was built out of solid steel, would dissolve. If it's built out of marble, it would dissolve. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Raines. Well, dear God Almighty, you ought to be listening to the news. Have you been listening to the news about the volcano that's been happening over in Hawaii just of late? About a wall of lava coming down the mountainside at 30 feet high? What stands in the path of a wall of lava that high? Nothing. You could drive that great big combine of yours out in front of that path, and just as soon as that path of lava hit that big $100,000 machine, that $100,000 machine would become lava, and it would just roll right on down the hillside with it. Huh? That big, beautiful brick home that you've got all your antiques in, got all that truckload of silver in, amen, and all that finery and tapestry and everything that you got in it, amen, if it gets in the path of that lava, amen, it's going to melt, amen, and become lava, and it's going to go right with it. And if you're in that house, that body of yours, it's going to become lava, and it's going to go right along with it. Now, of course, now, don't you get me wrong. I'm not preaching the annihilation of man. Amen. The soul of man will never die. This body's going to go back to Mother Earth from whence it came. But that soul that God put in me is going to live forever somewhere. Yours is going to live forever somewhere. And there's only two places for you to live. That's up there with him or down here in that lake of fire that'll never, the fire will never be quenched. And the smoke will ascend forever and ever.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Oh, Lord. The broad way leads where to?
Destruction.
Where?
Destruction.
Where's the broad road taking us? Destruction. To destruction. Looks to me like sensible people would wake up and see that and get off of that broad road. I'm so glad we got off of that broad road.
Hallelujah.
I don't want no broad road no more. Give me that straight and narrow way. I know where it's going to take me. Hallelujah. Oh, preacher, if I was a member of your church, you could talk about all the rules and regulations you wanted to. If it keep me on the straight and narrow, I say, give it to me, son. It don't make you no difference what you tell me to do. As long as it keeps me on the straight and narrow, I don't want to never stay on that broad road. That broad road will take you to destruction. Oh, God, help us. Now I got to go on. Oh, Lord, help me. I thank God the clock's working with me tonight. Thank the Lord. Amen. Now the 12th verse says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You'd think about the Apostle Peter was an atomic scientist, wouldn't you, reading this? Huh? And he didn't know nothing about atomic energy. Huh? That's right. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and without blameless. Now, since I've read that, let me get out the magazine section of the Arkansas Gazette is in the paper today. Here it is. If you didn't buy the Gazette today, I'd say you ought to go get it. For now, it'd be worth 50 cents for you to have this article. And I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to hit a highlight or two. Amen. Here's what it says on. Here's what it looks like on the front page. Picture of the world. Amen. Would nuclear war be the end of the world and a major exchange? More than 1 billion people would instantly be killed, but the long-term consequences could be much worse. This is written by a noted scientist by the name of Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan. And here is this man's picture. He looks so worried and so perplexed. Amen. Let me just give you just a little bit of what this says here in the first. the nuclear winter, into the eternal darkness, into fire, and then into ice. Except for fools and madmen, everyone knows that nuclear war would be an unprecedented human catastrophe. A more or less typical strategic warhead has the yield of 2 megatons. Now, most of us country folks have no idea what a megaton is. I don't. Do you? Well, he's going to explain to me and to you what the force of a megaton. Now, each one of these powerful warheads has the yield of 2 megatons. All right? The explosive equivalent of 2 million tons of TNT. My God, can you picture that? Now, that's just one of these atomic warheads is equivalent to 2 million tons of TNT. Jesus, have mercy. But 2 million tons of TNT is about the same as all the bombs exploded in World War II. Now, one of these stinking things is equivalent in power to all the bombs that was dropped in World War II. Now, can you sort of get an idea of how strong and how powerful one of these atomic bombs is? Ooh-wee. Now, listen to this. Listen now. A single bomb with explosive power of the entire Second World War, but compressed into a few seconds of time in an area of 30 or 40 miles across. Now, that's an area of 30 or 40 miles across is what one of those bombs' direct hits would destroy. In a 2-megaton explosion over a fairly large city, buildings would be vaporized. Now, think of that. Think of that. Where's a big city right around here close that I can call it? That everybody would be familiar. Let's talk about Chicago. Everybody knows about Chicago, don't they? Huh? All right, you drop one of those things on Chicago, those big high-rise buildings that's structural steel all through it, amen, they would vaporize, just melt like paper. People reduced to atoms and shadows. Outlying structures blown down like matchsticks, raging fires ignited. And if the bomb were exploded on the ground, an enormous crater like those that can be seen through a telescope on the surface of the moon would be all that remained where Midtown once had been. There are now more than 50,000 nuclear weapons, more than 13,000 megatons of yield deployed in the arsenals of the United States and the Soviet Union, enough to liberate 1 million Hiroshima. My God, did you know that? And did you know it has come out of the last several months that, you know, there's a red telephone that sits in Washington, D.C., and there's a man sits around the clock at that red telephone. And if that phone ever rings, he's supposed to touch the button that sends all these things into the air. And when ours go into the air, the Russians are coming back at us. And if the Russians shoot first, we're supposed to retaliate. And then everybody is going to go meet their maker, almost everybody. This man here claims at least 2 billion of us is going to be consumed at the moment that takes place. You see, oh, well, I'm going to get way down in the bottoms around DeWitt and dig me a hole. Amen. That's not going to do you any good, because all of this stuff is going to create so much dust, and so much stuff is going to go up into the air until it's going to shield the sun. These men have been talking about it. Amen. And then the earth will lose its warmth, and you that did not get killed in the atomic bomb, amen, you'll freeze to death. And they claim it's going to destroy all vegetation. Most all domestic animals will be destroyed. Amen. And if the heat don't get you, and if you don't freeze to death, you're going to starve to death. So that's this world world that you're living in, that you're so stuck on, and you're so in love with, and you're looking forward to serving the devil of this world every day of your life, I tell you, you better wake up and get ready to get out of here. For there's nothing waiting for us but destruction on the brown road.
Right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, preacher, what you going to do when they drop an atomic bomb on you with tonight? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to me. Amen. I'm not a bit afraid of that. For when they drop that bomb and your body disintegrates, my body's going to disintegrate. But I want you to know my soul's going to say, hallelujah, I'm on my way to glory. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, 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 Lord. Wake us up. Wake us up. Wake us up. You said, Brother Raines, I can't fathom that. Well, I can't either. But I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I'm giving you the Bible. Backed up by this noted scientist. With a lot of the others, you ought to buy this and read this and reread this. If there's any fear of God in you anywhere, you're not right with God. This ought to make you want to do something. Huh? Okay. Now I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 7th chapter. No, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. I get it right. 1 Thessalonians 1. And I want to start reading at the 7th verse. Notice what it says now. Please listen. Please listen. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. See, if you got trouble and you're worried and you're afraid to live in this old ungodly world, rest with us. We've found peace. We've found satisfaction. We've found happiness. We've found rest. Amen. We've found hope. We know if we're here when something drastic like this happens, amen, we won't have to worry because the Lord's going to prepare us a place. We're going to go see Him. Amen. But if you're still on the broad road, you're going to be everlastingly destroyed. You say, I can't quite follow you on that, brother. And listen to what it says here. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. He's coming with His mighty angels, but notice how He's coming. You don't hear a lot of preachers preach like this. I wonder why they don't. It's in their Bible just like it is mine. I could tell you why, but I'm not going to. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and they that have obeyed not the gospel of Jesus Christ. My Lord, you can be a person that's never told a lie in your life. You've never tasted of alcohol in your life. You've never smoked a cigarette in your life. You've never stole anything in your life. You've really never done anything bad in all your life. But friends, He's going to take vengeance on you if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what is the gospel, Brother Ed? Is it believing that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, friend, you got to believe He's the Son of God, but that won't save you. If that would save you, the devil would be saved because he believed that He was the Son of God. He even believed more than that. He believed He was God manifest in the flesh. It didn't save the devil. But when you believe on Him with all your heart, you're going to do what He tells you to do. Amen. The gospel in a nutshell is nothing other than repentance. Repenting of your sins, turning from your sins, being baptized in His name for the remission of your sins, letting Him fill you with His Holy Spirit, where you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the obedience of the gospel. If you don't obey that, He's going to come taking vengeance on you. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you the truth. This is a hard old pill to swallow. As old Brother Perry used to say, this is the gospel. If you'll swallow this and it'll do you good. I'm wanting you to do your good. Now notice this 9th verse. Amen. Well, I better back up and read the 8th so you can get that to go with the 9th. He's coming with His mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. See, there's that everlasting destruction again. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You say, Brother Ryan, I just don't know about that.
My, that's just the apostles talking. I don't know about that. Well, I tell you what, why don't you take some time next week and turn over in Luke and see what Jesus had to say. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They're a lot worse today than there was in Noah's day. A lot of people done quit marrying and giving in marriage. They're just living a sawmill style. Amen. Done quit going and getting that marriage license. Amen. Oh, God, help us in America today. Don't you tell me, old self-righteous America, that you're ready for the coming of the Lord. I'll tell you nay. But except you repent, you're going to perish. And you're going down in everlasting destruction. Yes. They was doing all this until the day that Noah and his family and his sons and their families walked that old gangplank up into that ark. God shut the door, and then what happened? The floods came. The fountains sprung up. Waters poured out. And you know what the Bible said? All those that wasn't in the ark was destroyed. Huh? Jesus didn't stop preaching there. He said, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. See, if you're not in this church, and if you don't leave here with this church, you're going to be destroyed if you stay down here. And he went a little further. He said, so shall it be in the days of Lot, when Lot and his family live in the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know how God dealt with those people, how God sent the angels down there to warn Lot. Amen. And Lot was a little reluctant, and the angels did give him a night. And he ran to his children's homes and said, look, God's going to destroy this city by fire. We got to get out of here. Those old unsaved kids laughed at their daddy. Amen. They laughed at their daddy. And no doubt old Sister Lot was doing a little laughing too. Amen. She didn't quite believe it or something. Amen. Because he told them that you got to get out of here. I'm going to destroy that fire. And the next day, the Bible said the same day that Lot and his daughters and his wife went out of that city being led by the angels of the Lord. And these angels of the Lord, those wicked, ungodly sodomites, tried to commit sodomy with them. Did you know this preacher that's standing right here in this pulpit has been insulted on some of the streets of our American cities by sick people? Sick people. You tell me our God don't look at that and see all that mess. Oh, brother, he does. Amen. Listen. And God told him, when you go out of this city, don't you look back. And you know Lot's wife looked back. She probably sit to death was thinking about that wardrobe of all them fine gowns she had. All them fine high-heeled shoes she had. All those fine whatnot she had in her beautiful home. Amen. She had her heart set on that stuff. You better get your heart off of this worldly good and the things of this world. Friends, while they're not going to save you, they'll damn you if you love them and worship them. You better get your heart on the Lord. That old girl looked back and turned to a pillow saw. But the Bible said the same day that Lot and his families went out of the city, it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed those thousands of people that was left behind. That destroyed men and that destroyed women. That destroyed boys. That destroyed girls. That destroyed little children and babies. But Jesus didn't quit preaching there. He said, so shall it be in the days of the coming. There's just one train out of here. There's just one ship out of here. We've just got one chance out of here. We've got one opportunity to get out of here. You see, oh, Brother Raines, I've had people that was so far out in sin and so far down on this broad road that they say, well, now don't worry about me. I'm going to have a lot of company. Honey, you're not going to enjoy that company when all of you are melting with fervent heat. Brother Pastor, preach it, son. When I'm gone, don't you quit preaching it. You are making preach it to you. Oh, God, we got to wake people up some way. Somehow, I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to be destroyed. I don't believe you want to be destroyed. But you're going to be if you don't get off of this broad road. Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let me tell you a true story of what happened one time in a community of people. There was a nice two-story home. Way in the night, that thing caught on fire. And the people in the house didn't know it. And somebody in the neighborhood was awakened by the flames and called the fire department and the police department. By the time the fire department got out there, police department got out there, here the community all was out there in their robes and their pajamas and their house shoes. And that house was burning. It was in flames. Everybody was disturbed. Everybody was disturbed. My God, is there somebody in that house? Is there anybody in that house? Is anybody in that house? If anybody's in that house, they're going to be burned up. Is anybody in this house? They're going to be burned up. But the fire department, the police department said, it's too bad. Can't nobody get in the doors. The fire is just engulfing everything. All of a sudden, somebody said, look up there, look up there. The second story was a man standing in the bathroom window. You know, bathroom windows, most all I've ever seen, were small. He was standing, scared to death, in the bathroom window. And so the fire department hurriedly got a ladder up there. And fire was just blazing everywhere. And they was hurrying, trying to rescue this man. And when the fireman got up there to him and got the window up and tried to get the man to come out of the house in his night clothes, he couldn't get him through the window. It wasn't that the man's body wouldn't go through the window, but friend, you know what the problem was? That man in that house, in his stage of fright and excitement, had grabbed up something in his arm. It could have been a 25-cent wastebasket. You know, how you probably would feel at a time like that. You're scared to death. You're not rational. You're not at yourself. And you see all your possessions going down in flames. And you're going to try to get out the bathroom window. And you just pick up something in your arms. And that he had in his arms, the fireman couldn't get him through the window. He said, you've got to lay that down. Now, it wouldn't have made any difference if he... Broad road, I'm going to go to Jesus, the lover of my soul, and I'm going to live for him. It don't make any difference what people think, what people say, or what they do. I'm going to live for God. Lay it aside. I wouldn't lose my soul over it for nothing, would you? Well, now let me tell you something else. Now, I know y'all have got all kind of crazy ideas about me. Because I get up here and preach at you and scream at you and all this kind of stuff. And I say, my, what a crazy man. Well, I'm going to try to explain to you my feelings. I'm going to try to tell you why I'm doing this. Several years ago, there was a big flash flood happened down in Mississippi. You may have remembered this. This was in the newspapers all over the country. In the spring, there was a big flash flood. And, of course, after the rain had sort of died down, it was early one night. There was a man driving down the road in his car by himself, had his hand up over the back of the front seat with his radio on, driving down this wet road, or wet highway. And all of a sudden, there was a bridge washed out, and his lights didn't detect it. And he ran off in a big drainage ditch that was running as mad as a river. But this man was fortunate enough. He rolled his window down. He come out of that window and was strong enough to fight that current and get to that bank and crawl up that muddy bank after sliding back many times. And he got out of that muddy water and saved his life. And he was exhausted when he got out on the bank. But then all of a sudden, Sister Odessa, he thought about, my God, there's probably going to be somebody else come along here that don't know this bridge is out just like me. I've got to get out there in that road and stop those people if I possibly can. man. And he jumped up from there and he crawled out in that highway. And no sooner had he got in that highway, way down around the bend, he saw the lights of a car coming. And he's standing by that highway waving, "Stop! Stop! There's a bridge out! There's destruction ahead of you! Stop!" Can't you imagine what some of those people say? "Well, what's that crazy nut doing? See, he was out there, looked like a drowned rat, had mud all over him. Don't you know he looked a fright? Just imagine. He looked terrible." He said, "Well, what's the matter with that drunk?" "Hey, the Lord, don't pay no attention to him. That's maybe what you all are thinking about me." "Well, what's the matter with that nut? Don't pay no attention to him. But I'm telling you, there's destruction out there ahead. And I'm trying to get you to stop." Those people passed him right on by. They plunged off into that muddy water and didn't a soul get out of that car. Well, don't you imagine how that man felt? If he had any feeling at all, don't you imagine how he felt? Well, he purposed in his heart, the next one come, I just got to stop it. He got in his pocket and he got his old handkerchief out. Of course, it was muddy and dirty and looked terrible. But anyhow, he got it out. Here come another car and he began to wave. "Ah, stop. Stop! The bridge is out. Destruction is waiting for you. Don't pass me. Stop, stop." Those people laughed at that man, went right on by, and plunged up into that water, never last one of them dry. My God, the man was crying by then. He said, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? They won't listen at me." That's what gets me. That's what gets this fella. A lot of times y'all won't listen at us. That tears our heart out. Did you know there's a major preacher dying with heart attacks today because of the pressure and pouring his soul out to good people like you? And you won't listen. You won't pay no attention. You go right on down that broad road into destruction. And we're giving everything we got to try to stop you. So he decided, "Sister Brenda, the next car comes." He said, "I'll just get out in the road. I'll get out in front of them." He got out in front of the next car. "Wait, stop, stop." And you know, the silly car like to run him down. If he hadn't been quick enough to jump out of the way, he had to leap like a frog to get out of the way to keep them crazy people from running him over. Oh, and they plunged into that terrible muddy water and all of them drowned. Did you know 6 cars went in there before he finally got a car stopped? The man was frantic. He was absolutely beside himself. But the 7th car, he got it to stop. And when the man rolled the window down, this fellow walked up to tears just streaming. And he was just as nervous as he could be. He said, "My God, man, there's a bridge out right there. There's already 6 cars, 7 with mine that went off in there. Everybody got drowned but me. Put your car crossways of the road and don't let nobody else go any further." And they said he passed out. My God! There's destruction out there on this broad road. We're trying to get you to come off of it and come to Jesus where there's safety. There is no safety in this world. This world is headed for destruction. Man's got enough power to destroy himself, but God's going to destroy this thing. Amen, my friends. You need to come to the Lord tonight and make your peace calling and election sure. Oh, God. What more can I say, preacher? What more can I do? I've done all I know to do. I've given you the word of the Lord. I've given you one of our noted scientists. I've told you what happened to the man on the road where the bridge was out. Oh, God. You're headed for destruction. Why don't you get off of the broad road and come to the Lord tonight? Would you do it? Would you do it? Shall we stand? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, talk to the hearts of these people tonight. Amen. Are you here and you're not ready to meet God? Do you mean to tell me you want to just keep driving on and plunge off into destruction and be lost and ruined and damned forever? I just can't believe that you want to do that. I can't believe that. Wake up, friend. Wake up and come off of the broad road. Come to God tonight. Would you move?
Amen. Lord, we pray for these people. Lord, we have reached for them with our heart and our soul and our mind and with your precious word. Now, Lord, let your spirit get a hold of their hearts and pull them off of the broad road before it's too late. Don't let them be lost. We bid them to come to you tonight. Draw them with your Holy Spirit, O God, in Jesus' name. Will you come right quick now and let's pray? Come on, come on. He's calling today. He's calling today. Thank God for these men that are coming. Would you come and join them?